The Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 14, Light, Part 3.
Rather than how people are different from each other, how the cells in you are different from yourself, and how the genomes inside the cells of you get damaged as we exist, and that can contribute to cancer and to ageing. And one of the things that causes that change is light, is the ultraviolet component of sunlight. And that's why we're here, I guess. So I'm Kath Green, I'm a lab head at the University of Oxford, and my team is interested in how your genome stays stable over time, in particular how it stays stable even in the presence of threats and damage to your DNA. So we're interested in environmental exposures and how DNA is not remaining stable as it exists in your body, but it's continuously changing. We have mechanisms in our cells to repair DNA when it gets damaged, and we're particularly interested in repair processes. As we now start to think about genomes and the human genome, this idea that there is a human genome is really a popular idea. There's one. And then obviously each individual in the population has a genome, and they're different from each other. And we understand that human genomes are individual to the person that they come from. But in fact, it's more complicated than that, because you inherited your genome from your mother and father when you were a single cell, and ever since then that genome has had the potential to change. It changes over time as you're being made, and mostly we would call that the process of mutation. It changes normally for the worse, but all of the cells, as they're making a you, dividing from a single cell to make a you, have the potential to not quite inherit a perfect copy of their genome. Humans have a mutation rate. That's why we evolve over time, because we have a mutation rate in the germ cells that will make the next generation, but we also have a mutation rate in the cells of our body. And this is one of the fundamental things that underlie cancer development, that sometimes by bad luck and sometimes by bad choices, our genomes have changed in such a way that they are able to overgrow, and that's where we get tumours from and cancer from. So none of the cells in you are necessarily having the same genome as the cells next to them. And I think that's something that we have to start thinking about when we're thinking about cancer treatment, cancer diagnostics. And with the advent of lots of the new sequencing technologies, as that becomes cheaper and easier to sequence genomes, we'll start to understand a lot more and more about the variation that exists even within a single person, let alone from person to person. So I'm really interested in just how cells can copy their DNA and get that right, because human genomes are enormous, and copying that enormous amount of information 100% accurately is really complicated and difficult. So the main focus of my lab is understanding the enzymatics, the kinetics, the regulation of how the DNA inside each of our cells can be perfectly duplicated, and that mutations, changes in that genome, are avoided during that process. And then that leads on to my general interest in change, because I'm interested in studying stability, but from that, of course, when that goes wrong, the upshot of that is we get change, we get mutations in the genome, and that's deleterious mostly.
But how do Kath and her team study the genome?
So lots of different ways we study DNA replication. We use from purified enzymes in test tubes, trying to understand which proteins combine to which and the consequences of that. Purified enzymes working on DNA to synthesize new pieces of DNA to look for accuracy. And then a lot in cell culture models, so looking at single human cells undergoing the process of DNA replication, and then using patient-derived material from people who have specific syndromes that maybe the process of DNA replication or repair is affected, to look for how cells from different people respond to replication, to damage, and to DNA repair.
How exactly is DNA vulnerable to UV light?
There are four bases in DNA, which we call A, G, C and T. Two of them are pyrimidines. So T and C are pyrimidine nucleotides. And if you've got two pyrimidines next to each other in the genome, so a C next to a C or a T next to a T, TC, that chemical moiety is just in the right position that a photon with the right energy from the ultraviolet range of the spectrum. So UVA and UVB, you see those written on the labels of your sun cream, and the UVA and UVB component are just the right energy to be absorbed by those two, the bases C and T next to each other, and the energy that then is absorbed by that molecule can create a crosslink. So the C and the T in normal DNA would just be individual entities held together by hydrogen bonds. And what happens when they absorb a photon, an energy from a photon of UV light, is they become cross-linked together. And that means they can't separate, and they distort the shape of the helix. And they disturb the hydrogen bonding that those bases can do. It means they can't be recognised by the cellular machinery as a C and a T. So they cause a lot of problems for transcription and for replication.
So is this damage what causes mutations?
That damage is a pre-mutation, I guess. It's a changed DNA structure. And even as that exists, that can be a problem for the cells. A piece of DNA that's got a photo lesion in it, can't, so that one of these crosslinks, can't be used by the cell to make a protein. So the cell has lots of ways that it tries to discover this DNA is damaged and then try and fix it. And we know about these because there are specific people with genetically inherited disorders that mean that they can't tolerate UV damage. And that's generally because they're lacking a specific repair pathway that would detect the DNA that's damaged and fix it. But there will always be, in a large genome and the trillions of cells in you, there will always be some damage that avoids detection, and a real problem happens when you try and replicate that DNA, because it's not then just a damaged base, it gets changed by the process of replication into a normal base, but the wrong one. And that's a mutation which can't be detected anymore by the cells. So you have this process of damage which is problematic, but an even greater problem if you don't recognise you've had a damage and repair it in time before you try and replicate it. Because when you try and copy the damage, a mistake during that copying leads to a mutation which is no longer a damage, it's just a mutation, and that can have real consequences for the cell later in life.
Why is our skin more vulnerable to this damage?
Skin is one of the organs of our body that is having to continually be replenished because our skin cells are sloughing off the surface of us, and so we have an underlying layer of stem cells that are continually having to reproduce themselves. Now, a lot of the It's funny, we've lost an enzyme in evolution, which we would really like to have. So most organisms on the planet has, since life evolved on the planet, there's always been ultraviolet light in our environment. And most organisms on the planet have an enzyme called a photolyase. It's a really cool enzyme which can recognise this damage in DNA and actually use the energy in light to directly repair it. So it can absorb, this enzyme is called a photolyase, it can absorb blue photons and use the energy of a blue photon to just disconnect those two bases that are joined together. But placental mammals lost that enzyme during evolution at some point. So yeasts have it, plants have them, some bacteria have them, fish have them, but placental mammals have lost them. Presumably because when we were furry mice, came out at night, it wasn't so important for us to have. The gene was lost, and now we're of course living on the savannah. Would be useful to have, but unfortunately we can't reacquire it.
Is light the only environmental factor that causes this structural damage to our DNA?
Light is one of the environmental exposures that causes direct damage to DNA. It's not the only thing. It's one of the things that we can avoid, at least. So that's good, but lots of metabolic We live in an oxygen-rich environment, and oxygen itself is actually very reactive. And so reactive oxygen species that are produced in our bodies just by respiration, just by the process of our cells utilising oxygen to get energy, means that our DNA is being damaged all the time. Cosmic rays from the sun, when you go up in an aeroplane, you're getting damaged to your DNA. Environmental exposures to chemicals. Barbecued food has got quite high carcinogens in it. Smoking, tobacco smoke is obviously a very obvious one. So ultraviolet light is one of those DNA damaging agents, and all of those DNA damages have their own repair pathways that cells have evolved to deal with, particularly environmental exposures that have been around a long time. And most of those DNA damages have the same problem when you come to replicate them. So if the repair pathway hasn't fixed the damage in time, replicating it can convert a DNA damage into a mutation, which can be harmful for cells.
So does Kath think that the public is aware enough of the risks of UV?
The public is a lot more aware that ultraviolet light is dangerous to us, but maybe not aware enough. We need to be very clear that too much exposure to sunlight and to sunbeds, and particularly to sunbeds, I suspect, because people overdo sunbeds quite easily. And sunbed, the irradiation from sunbeds is just as bad as the irradiation from the sun. So there's no sense in spending our time trying to get tanned
at a consequence of melanoma incidence in 20 years' time, I see it. So I continue to think that as we work on understanding the responses of cells to UV light, we also have to work on explaining that this is dangerous. And the more people know about it, the more we find out about it, the more we talk about it, people will understand more and more that it's just like smoking. Don't do it if you can avoid it. But also, the more we understand about how the repair pathways work, the more we'll be able to understand how people's repair pathways are different from each other. We're all variants, yeah? We're all different from each other. And some people will probably be better at tolerating ultraviolet light than others. So as we understand more about how repair and replication in the presence of UV occurs in cells, we'll start to understand all of the genes which are involved in that process. And as we understand more about the genetics of each individual, we'll start to understand that people's risks differ. And this will be true. Everybody will have a different ability to manage ultraviolet exposure. And as we start to become more comfortable with the idea that we know our own genomes, perhaps we'll start to be more comfortable with the idea that individual risks can be determined and you can make decisions based on information. And I think that's what scientists always want to be able to do here, make decisions based on facts. So it's just to get more information. The more we know about how cells work, the better we can put that to use. And in individuals that have repair disorders, the more we know about these disorders, the more we know about the genetics and the enzymology, the more likely it is we'll be able to find treatments or regimes that can help with managing those conditions. But certainly for the photolyase, for example, it might well be that biotech firms are able to develop creams or lotions or other protective environments for us that can enable us to go in the sun. Everyone likes the feeling of warmth on their skin. It would be lovely to think that there could be a future where ultraviolet light could be safe for us to enjoy. And that might come. Sun creams are getting better all the time. Maybe it'll come.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Brian McInwells. This podcast was produced for the University of Oxford by Steve Pritchard. For more fascinating science, visit www.oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk.